enter through this door or you will never be saved. That is the message I have for you today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue this verse-by-verse Bible study through the Gospel of John. Now, there is a door, ladies and gentlemen, to salvation, ultimately a door to heaven, if you would. And you will learn through the scriptures in this chapter 10 here today that the door is a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. So let's dig in. Verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." So we have a picture here of a flock of sheep, ladies and gentlemen. It's talking about the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold was an enclosed area. You know, you have the sheep out there in a field, and there would be a separate area where the sheep would go. They would bring them in there at the end of the day at night to protect them from the wolves and the animals and what have you. And that was where they would be. So the sheepfold was the place. Sometimes it was closer to the main living quarters of the person, but other times it might have been a right there, a separate and enclosed area within the fields, okay? So we have the picture here that the shepherd is going into the sheepfold. Now, this is dealing with, ladies and gentlemen, the true shepherds, okay? They're going to go in and out of this sheepfold here. These are the ones that are going to go in. They're going to bring the sheep in, and it's a picture, ladies and gentlemen, of the pastors or the shepherds, if you would, of the flock, of the people of God. So they're going to go in and out. But we're going to learn as we read here along that the door to this sheepfold is the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, so it says here, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." So the false shepherds, if you would, the false leaders that represent who they say are ministers leading God's people, many of them are not true shepherds, okay? They're false, they're thieves, and they're robbers in the spirit. So this is what the Lord is talking about here. He's coming forth basically with a warning. So the true shepherds, ladies and gentlemen, they realize that Jesus is the way. John 14 and 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So a true shepherd, ladies and gentlemen, that's somebody who's been truly born again of the Spirit. They're going to be leading the people of God, teaching the people of God, watching over the people of God. And you know, there are tons of false shepherds in the land today, in this country, even around the world. You know, for many of them, their lifestyles, they give themselves away. You know, you look at their lifestyles. They live the life of Riley. They have these huge, humongous mansions. They're flying all over the world. They love the things of the world more than the things of God. And, you know, there are many modern-day charlatans. I remember many years ago, you know, they have those exposés on television. There was a minister. They asked for money, and you know, millions of dollars come in, and they had a dumpster out back, and what was happening, they said, was they were taking the money or checks or both out of the envelopes, and in all their letters and stuff to request what the people said, they were throwing it out in the dumpster. So you got to beware, ladies and gentlemen, especially in this modern day, there are many charlatans, many shucksters all over the place, especially in this modern day. So Christians, you need discernment, okay? You got to meditate upon the Word of God for yourself. Don't ever forget that. So in verse 3, it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Christians, you should know the voice of the shepherd, ultimately the ultimate shepherd, Jesus Christ. The more you study the word, the more you become acquainted with the word, the more you will recognize the true shepherd. And whether or not the local pastor or your church pastor is walking with the Lord, is he walking in tune with the ultimate door of the sheepfold, whose name is Jesus Christ, as we're going to find out here. So there are true shepherds, and bless the Lord for the true shepherds who are following the Lord, doing the best that they can, keeping the sheep where they need to be, away from the wolves and the false teachers of today. Let's go to verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So, you know, sheep, they say, you know, the sheep learn the voice of their shepherd. And they're not going to listen to the voice of a stranger. Oh, yes. So, you know, in fact, you know, you can see that even with people when they have their dogs, their own dog. You know, that dog learns the voice of its owner or its master. Oh, yes, they do. They know that voice. In fact, I saw a YouTube video. I guess a man had a dog, a small dog, and he had one of those cameras set up in his house. So he just very gently started calling the dog's name. And you see the dog come flying from another room, and he hears his voice, but he doesn't see the owner. I guess the owner was at work or something. And he's listening, and he's watching, but he heard the voice. He recognized the voice, and then he finally located where it was coming from. He went up to the camera. In fact, I think he started to lick it. The dog heard the voice of its master. And that's how it is with the sheep. You learn the voice, and we got to learn the voice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the ultimate shepherd. And when you meditate upon the Word of God, you study the Word of God, there's a flavor, ladies and gentlemen. There's a sound that you recognize. And that's how you get discernment over false teachers. You know, when a false teacher comes in, something just will not sit right because you're so in tune with the truth of God's Word. Oh, yes, it's like counterfeit money. I've used that illustration before. They say when they teach bankers, you know, how to spot counterfeit money, they teach them to learn the feel of the true money. The more you handle the true money, the real money, then you'll be able to get that feel and say, no, this isn't real. Although we're living in a day when so many imitations are so like the real, it's become harder and harder. So that's very interesting when you think about it. So let's go to verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Very powerful. Right here, Jesus flat out says, I am the door. And later on, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So you want to be saved? It's plain right here, ladies and gentlemen, black and white. You must come through that door. The door is Jesus Christ. If you don't come through that door, you will never be saved. In fact, I'll tell you, it is impossible. It is impossible to be saved if you don't come through this door. And speaking of Jesus Christ, obviously he spoke allegorically when he's talking that he's the door. Obviously, he's not a door. He's not a door swinging on hinges. He's trying to tell you, he's giving you an illustration. You know when you go through a door, You're entering into another room, okay? So he says, I am the door. Let me explain it this way. Suppose, You're doing some shopping at a supermarket or a large warehouse, and there's an explosion, and there's a big fire breaks out, and you're near the rear of the store, and somebody comes up to you, an employee says, "Come over here. This is the only way out. There's a door. Let's go. Let's get out of this place before we're consumed." Now, you'd be foolish not to follow them, man, because you see people running, other employees going for that door. One door, one way out. Jesus is the door, ladies and gentlemen, and he's the only door. He's the only way out of this present evil world that we live in. The whole world lieth in wickedness. So if you want true salvation, you must come through that door. The door is a person named Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Luke 12 and verse 32, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." A flock, you know, it's a flock, sheep, we're sheep. So you need to know, folks, God knows everything about you, and he says, "Fear not, little flock." It's his good pleasure, it's the Father's good pleasure. Jesus spoke those words. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's a little flock. It's a small remnant. While the rest of the world wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ, you are part of that little flock if you've been saved, if you've been born again of the Spirit of the living God. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 23 and 24. "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." So this is from Ezekiel 34. It's a prophecy. And this is speaking of Christ, okay? My servant David, that's referring to Christ. That's one of the titles called David, okay? My servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. So the Lord is our shepherd. Let's go to Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2. "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord." So, you know, basically this is speaking of the Jewish people, the people of Israel, that we're not doing what the Lord called them to do. Oh, yes. So, in fact, you could take it into the New Testament. The Lord was dealing with the Pharisees, the religious Jewish people. They're rejecting him, so they were not serving him. Oh, yes. So they were leading people astray. And then now here's the arrival of the great shepherd in living color. The Lord's coming, and he is the ultimate shepherd, as you will see in this chapter. He's the shepherd that you and I both need. Verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So who's the thief ultimately? The thief, this is referring to Satan, the devil himself. He seeks the destruction of the soul. He grabs the minds, ladies and gentlemen, of the false shepherds, the counterfeit shepherds, the one who are pretending to be speaking for God, but they are not, okay? Often money becomes their God. They don't love the sheep at all. They're in love with the money. As I said before, you know, talking about television evangelist, you know, you got to be so careful. You know, the theme is call now, and I'll show you how I can take your money out of your wallet and put it in my own wallet. That's basically the theme of many, many of those television programs. Mail in your money to me. That's what we want. Take your money out of your wallet, and we'll show you in three easy steps how we could put it in our own wallets. And God will bless you. You give to us, God's going to bless you. You see, it becomes a money thing. It's all about money, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about souls. It's about money and filling their coffers with money. You see them riding around in their Learjets, and you'll see they do aerial photographs of their properties, and it just goes on and on, acres upon acres of self selfishness, folks. That's what it is. And many, many ministries are like that today. It's getting scary, folks. So Jesus says, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What a beautiful and powerful verse that is. The good shepherd, this is Christ speaking. And he's saying the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's prophesying his own death. Oh, yes, he is. Hebrews 13 and 20, it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, spoken hundreds of years before Christ died. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we're the sheep, ladies and gentlemen. We were gone astray, living for ourselves, living in selfishness, at enmity with a holy and righteous God, ungodly and dead in our sins. And the Lord took our sins upon himself. We turn to our own way, but the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Powerful. 1 Peter 5 and 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's speaking of Christ. He's the chief shepherd. So do you see the picture there of Christ as the shepherd, folks? He's the shepherd of our souls. Hallelujah. You should be rejoicing at the sound of this word. John 10, verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So look at this beautiful shepherd, folks. This is what Christ has done for us. He laid down his life for us. He's the good shepherd. Don't ever forget that. God's motive toward you, ladies and gentlemen, is good. He loves you. Okay, he laid down his life for you. If you're unsaved today, God wants you to know that Christ laid down his life for you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, today is the day of salvation. Come in while you can. The good shepherd laid down his life for you. The hirelings or hired hands, you know, you have people in the world, you know, you could have a big company. Now the son could be working for the company. Now the son's going to be looking out all the more for the company that his father owns. But if they have hired hands, people who work for wages, maybe an hourly wage, their concern is not going to be the same as the son. You see that? So the hirelings, you know, the hired hands, the hired sheep, the ones who watch the sheep, they're not going to be looking out the same way as the one whose sheep they are. The owner of the sheep. You see that? So keep that in mind, folks. Many hirelings in the land today regarding false pastors, false shepherds. Hirelings, they're in it for the money. Okay, they're in it for the money, for everything that goes along with it. And, you know, sometimes I read, you know, stories about different churches. So it was a church in Manhattan somewhere. And you look at the salaries of these people. I said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, they travel the world. They do this and they demand. They actually demand, this is what my salary is going to be. And you just have the sense in your heart that they don't even know the Lord. They don't know the Lord. So it's a shame. It really is. So, but that's the way things go. So we see that the Lord's trying to let the people know, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That's a good thing to remember, folks, that, you know, we know Christ, you know, he was rejected by his own Jewish people, and they rebelled against him, betrayed him, and so on and so forth, and he went to the cross, but it's important that you know that Christ did that willingly. He laid down his life of his own accord. That's exactly what he did. This was the love of God. This was the love of God, folks. He came to die for you. No man took it from him. He laid it down himself. At any time, he could have called legions of angels if he wanted to. He went to the cross for you. He did it willingly. Don't ever forget that. And he says, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. He rose from the dead, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, he did. That's why he said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up again. He had the power to lay down his life. He had the power to raise that body up again. Glory to God. That's the Jesus you want to know, folks. So he's talking about that he has sheep that are not of this fold. So he's talking about the Gentiles here. He's going to bring in the Gentiles, folks, Jewish and Gentile. So this gospel's for the whole world. No separation between the two. Don't buy that lie. One fold. You're either in or you're out. So this is what this is talking about right here. The middle wall, folks, a partition between the Jews and the Gentiles is gone, been knocked down. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. It says this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain or two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So folks, is one. We're all one in Christ Jesus. The Gentiles, how do we come near? How do we get near? By the blood of Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood of Christ will wash away your sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ will satisfy God's holy justice against you, sir and ma'am, whether you're Jewish or Gentile. You will not be in heaven without that blood. You won't be there. Trust me, you will not be there. So here's the answer. I'm giving it to you clear as a bell today, folks. You need to know that he's the door. He paid the price. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. So if there's no Jesus Christ, then there's no salvation, no heaven after you die. Hell has enlarged itself waiting for the unredeemed, folks. So, you know, it's a serious thing. You know, the time to get right with God is now. Verse 19, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil or a demon. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So, you know, as Jesus preached, there was always a lot of trouble going on, and that's what was taking place here. They were bickering amongst each other. You know, who is this guy? He's demon possessed. Why do you even listen to him? He's mad. This guy's mad. Don't listen to him. And that's basically what they were saying, folks. That word for mad, by the way, mynome, and it means to rave as a maniac. So basically, they were saying he's a raving maniac. Why do you even listen to him? So this is actually what was happening when Christ was preaching about being the door, when he was preaching about being the shepherd, okay? That he's the true shepherd, and yet his own people still rejected him. So we've gone through, we're in the 10th chapter, and you know, as we've gone from the very beginning, we see that controversy between the religious Jewish people and Jesus Christ himself. And by the way, that still goes on to this very day. There's still a controversy in the land between the religious Jews and the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. So picture this whole hoopla going on, and in the middle of all this, they're shouting out, come on, just tell us. Are you the Messiah or not? Why do you make us doubt? Are you the Messiah? Tell us. Are you the Christ? And that's what was happening, folks. So let's go to verse 25 right here. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's a good one to remember, folks. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're one of his sheep. But don't say you know the Lord if you're not following him, okay? You know, I said a little prayer 30 years ago, but you don't follow the Lord. Sheep follow the shepherd. Don't forget that. Sheep follow the shepherd. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Wow. So, eternal life, folks, absolutely, it's certainly eternal. It says here, no man will pluck you out. Now, keep in mind, you know, as I said before, the sheep follow the Lord. If you're a true Christian, you're going to follow the Lord. So we follow the Lord. We believe in the Lord. We walk by faith. Colossians 1:20-23. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Don't miss this. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Don't be moved as you see the false gospels come along. Don't be moved. Don't go this way when the Lord says don't go that way. Don't join hands with people who preach a counterfeit gospel such as the gospel of Roman Catholicism. Don't follow those people, okay? 1 Peter 1, verses 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, hallelujah, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's a spot in heaven reserved for the believer in Jesus Christ. We're kept by the power of God. How? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Glory to God. That's good stuff. John 10, verse 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So once again, we have a confrontation. It all has to do with the deity, the divinity of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. So they wanted to stone Christ. So, and you can find just in John chapter 5, verse 18, John chapter 8, verse 59, we have two other instances in this very book of John where they wanted to kill Christ. They wanted to stone him. Why? For blasphemy. Why? Because he's claiming. Okay, look, you're making yourself God. You see, you're making yourself God. because he called himself the Son of God. He made himself equal with God. And that was the big beef that they had with Jesus Christ. They did not receive him. They did not believe that he was who he said he was. And that's why they wanted to stone him. And the reason they wanted to stone him can be found in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 24 and verse 16. I'll read it to you. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. So that's what was taking place there. They felt they had a right to kill him. We're going to kill you. So three times already in the Gospel of John, they wanted to stone Christ. Your heart should be leaping for joy, ladies and gentlemen, because Jesus Christ is God. He was God manifest in the flesh. So that's the difference between this fake religion you see to the right and to the left. This is the one you need. He came down from above. This is the one who said, I am the door. This is the one who's the shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. This is the one who laid down his life for the sheep. So you can hop in, folks. There's no reason why you should hesitate at all. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? So he says, look, your own Lord says ye are gods. Now, obviously, that the people are not gods. He was talking about the civil leaders, the civil magistrates, okay, because of the authority and power that they were given, because the word of God came to them. So obviously they're not gods. So, you know, some people teach today we're gods, we're little gods. You're not a little god. You're a little sinner, ungodly, saved by the mercy and grace of God. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. That's who you are in reality in the sight of God. Verse 35, if he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So he's saying, look, you know, you shouldn't be bucking me, coming against me. You know, I've been sent into the world, and you're telling me that I'm blaspheming by calling myself the Son of God. And as I said, ladies and gentlemen, here we are in the 21st century. Nothing basically has changed. That attitude of the religious Jewish people is exactly the same. It's laughable to them when you say that Jesus Christ is God. That is the truth. You know it's the truth. So it's important that you hear that. So he's saying, look, the works that I do, think of all the miracles that he did. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed multitudes, multiplied the loaves and the fishes, casting out devils to the left and to the right, walked on water, calmed a raging storm at sea. And yet, those works, which testify of the awesome power and glory of God, did nothing. It meant nothing to them. They still rejected him. It says, verse 39, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. So after all of that, after the Lord preached his heart out, poured his heart out, explained to them why they should believe, and said, look, you don't believe me? Look at my works. Look at what I'm doing. After all that, what does it say? They sought again to take him. They wanted to grab him. Let's nab him right now. And once again, you'll see that they were not able to get him. It went again, but he escaped out of their hand. Awesome. So he was supernaturally protected. And you see that he went back beyond Jordan where John at first baptized. And many came to him there And obviously they listened to him, and they said, look, John the Baptist, he didn't do any miracles, but everything he said about this guy, meaning Jesus, it's true. They knew Jesus did all sorts of miracles. And what does it say? Verse 42, last verse in this chapter, and many believed on him there. So this is the way it's always been, ladies and gentlemen. The gospel goes forth with power. Some believe and some don't. And that's what took place here. Many believed on him there. Most of the people that heard the word did not believe on him. But there were enough people. They sought him out. They went back to where he went. They listened to him and they believed in him. And when you believe in the Lord, you have everlasting life in him by faith. I'm going to leave it right there. So you be blessed and have a great day.